Second free throw coming up for Vito Brown. The Badgers today are 7 of 15 at the free throw line. 8 of 16, they get Wisconsin to New York City. Second free throw for Brown, airborne. It's in and out, no good. Rebound tip, DiVincenzo has it with 1 second. Ball's knocked loose, and Brunson throws it up, and it's nowhere close. And the Wisconsin Badgers have won it. New York City, the Badgers are coming your way.
Air It Out is on the air.
That's Matt LePay on the call with Learfield. Of course, you heard the game right here on The Fan. I'm Marcus, that's Bill. It's 9:39 here in the WDUZ Fan Studio. Joined now by Evan Flood, 24/7 Sports. Evan, how are you doing this morning?
Great. Got to admit, I'm a little surprised to find out Wisconsin's season is going to keep continuing this week after that draw they had in the NCAA tournament, though.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, it's think about it. Coming into the season, then, yeah, this didn't seem all that far-fetched at all. Bronson Koenig and Nigel Hayes, this star-studded senior class, is back. They should be back in the Sweet 16. They should be a top-10 team. But they didn't look like it a month ago. What's gone right? What did they fix?
Well, I think, when you really look at what happened when Wisconsin started to maybe hit their downfall, I think teams basically decided they weren't going to let Ethan Happ beat them. And, you know, as good as he got during the middle of the season, maybe later, I think, you know, it hurt Wisconsin in the sense that I think they relied on him way too much. And then all of a sudden teams started to take him away. And, you know, Wisconsin really wasn't the same. I don't know. You weren't getting the same production from Nigel Hayes and Bronson Koenig consistently. I think they kind of had to restructure a lot of their offense. And you can see the ball movement, especially away from the ball when Ethan touches, it is a lot different. Their sets are a lot different, so they're not so reliant on getting Ethan in difficult spots where he can't make plays. I think that rough patch really forced Greg Gard and the coaching staff to kind of restructure things offensively, and now you've seen Wisconsin can attack those double teams in a lot of different ways, and you know they're doing just fine if Ethan Happ doesn't have big games. I mean, Nigel Hayes and Bronson Koenig down the stretch there against Villanova were terrific. They had Wisconsin on their back, scoring 12 of the last 15 in that game, including the game-winning layup from Hayes with 11 seconds left. They just made some big plays, and you know, a team a month ago that was so reliant on Ethan Happ, now you've got three guys I think they feel comfortable going to in any part of the game, and you know, I think any one of those guys can carry this team when they need a bucket, and I think, you know, that's the biggest difference even from the whole season. You know, they haven't really had those guys playing well together all the time. Now all of a sudden you're getting double figure performances from all three of them almost every time out.
Well, Koenig kind of had his shooting slump at that same time, right? So that didn't help anything. But it seems now that they are going to Nigel Hayes, making a concerted effort, getting him the ball closer to the basket and letting him do some work down low. He only took one three yesterday, and I think that's great. He shot, what did he finish, 8 out of 15 from the floor, so you're getting him closer to the bucket.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I think, you know, he's kind of taken over Ethan's role as kind of the workhorse of this offense, because if you want to double him, he is such a good passer, and he's so skilled where he can carve up defenses, and so by getting him maybe more touches than Ethan gets on the block, he can kind of run the show down there from the paint. You know, he's kind of got, you know, that point forward mentality, you know, where he's kind of maybe looking to pass before he is looking to shoot, and you know, he's kind of always got his head up on the dribble. So, you know, if people want to double him, you know, he can pick you apart from the block, and if you don't, he's big and strong enough to finish against almost any defender, sometimes two defenders in the country. So I think, you know, that's a good point you brought up. It's no longer maybe Ethan's show offensively that like it was a month ago. They're kind of giving a lot of those touches to Nigel and you know, maybe taking the burden off Ethan a little bit.
Evan Flood, 24/7 Sports here on The Fan. Evan, so when the Selection Sunday was going down and teams are getting their seed, Badgers fans were perplexed by that 8 seed. I think understandably so. But they weren't the only team, even in that region. Take Villanova, for example. Yes, they get the number one overall seed, but they see Wisconsin, a team that's gone to two Final Fours in the last few years, as their potential second-round matchup. And then Duke at the bottom of the bracket, they were the favorite in Vegas to win the whole thing as a two seed. They're wondering why they didn't get a one. And now here the Badgers are, remaining in that, you know, four teams remaining in that region. Villanova's out of it. Duke is out of it. Greg Gard said after the game, seeds don't matter. I guess, case in point, look at that region.
Yeah, I think he had a great message to his team. And, you know, you go back through all the quotes over the last week, and you really can't find any Wisconsin player or coach maybe giving the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee a piece of their mind. And, you know, Greg basically told his team, look, you know, you're going to have to play these teams anyway. If you want to get to where you want to go this season, you're going to have to go through a Villanova or a Duke, whoever it is, and beat those teams to get to the Final Four or however, you know, whatever this team's goals are. You're going to have to beat them anyway, so why not get it out of the way early? And, you know, how 2 days can change things. Wisconsin goes from, you know, almost insurmountable odds of reaching the Final Four to now, you know, I don't like putting the cart in front of the horse because we've seen how quickly this tournament can change. But, you know, I think you could make the argument Wisconsin could be the best team left in the East region all of a sudden.
You know, none of the current players may have said anything, but a lot of the former players did via Twitter. Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker both were pretty loud about the seeding and what they thought was a slight by the NCAA.
Yeah, and, you know, they're not wrong. You know, I know I had to miss last week, but I probably would have went off on the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee. You know, if you just use any type of common sense with your seedings, there's no way Wisconsin's an 8th seed in the 8th region. Just take a look at the 7th seed, South Carolina. Now, throw out the fact that they just beat Duke, and so, you know, they look stronger. But, you know, there's nothing on South Carolina's resume that suggests they're better than Wisconsin. Wisconsin has outperformed them, you know, the whole way. With the exception of their, you know, strength of schedule, which was, you know, one of the worst in the country. But, you know, even Wisconsin's RPI was better than South Carolina's, which, you know, you would assume they used to give Minnesota the fifth and Minnesota the fifth, 5 seed and Maryland the 6th seed because they had a better RPI than Wisconsin, even though Wisconsin went 3-0 against those teams. So it was completely inconsistent. There was almost no common sense used. The selection committee almost said the Big Ten season didn't even matter, even though Wisconsin was playing for a title in the regular season and the tournament. They were doomed from the start of this thing, and there was almost nothing they could have done because they obviously head-to-head meant nothing to them. So, you know, I'm glad Wisconsin kind of shut their mouths and didn't worry about it. But, you know, everyone else who went off on Twitter, you know, the former Wisconsin players, you know, they're right on. You know, yeah. Wisconsin, you know, if they almost judged people by what a piece of paper said about them, more than what they actually achieved during the season, which, you know, to me is a little ridiculous just because other teams went and played maybe harder games in non-conference and lost. You didn't look at what the teams actually achieved during the year, which makes no sense to me.
Right, and South Carolina got to play virtually home games about 100 miles from Columbia in Greenville, so the Badgers didn't get to go to Milwaukee, and yet they did get to stay close to home, but it's worked out for both so far. Let me ask you about Greg Gard, Evan, because it seemed as though, I mean, he had a look about him yesterday after that win, very satisfied. What do you think this getting to the second weekend of the tournament means to him?
Well, I think it's huge for the program. You know, I've kind of questioned in my head, you know, is Wisconsin starting to become that premier program in the Big Ten? I think you got to win a few more Big Ten titles to maybe unseat Michigan State, but I think he's got this thing going where, you know, in a couple of years, you know, we may not look at Michigan State as kind of that team in the Big Ten. We could be looking at Wisconsin with the NCAA tournament success they've had. And I think, you know, his look of satisfaction is just, you know, he was on these teams that, you know, couldn't get past the Sweet 16. I know they haven't done that yet, but, you know, he was on these teams that, you know, Wisconsin struggled in March, and it seemed like whoever the hot team was, you know, Wisconsin was going to get run into them and get knocked out. And, you know, now they're having sustained national success in this tournament. They've beaten 3 number one seeds in the last 4 years. They're the only team in the country that's been to 4 straight Sweet 16s. The only team in college basketball has been to 6 of the last 7 Sweet 16s. So I think, you know, I'm sure he's not thinking this, but I'm sure, you know, part of him's got to be feeling like Wisconsin, in terms of where it stands nationally, continues to rise. You know, where it ranks in the Big Ten continues to rise because, you know, they've had some big wins over these last couple years. And, you know, I think he's got to be feeling satisfied because Wisconsin didn't play really their best game. They turned the ball over 14 times, gave up 11 offensive rebounds, were terrible at the free throw line again. Ethan Happ gets in foul trouble. He's out for half the first half. Bronson Koenig has to sit for half the second half, and they still beat what the NCAA tournament selection committee considered the best team in the country.
Yep. Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy to hear you say, too, you know, the Badgers could be that new Michigan State in the Big Ten based on their tournament success, but you can't really argue against it right now. Four straight Sweet 16s, they've been absolutely killing it come March. Now, before we let you go, Evan, just a real quick look ahead. Up first, the Florida Gators. What's the scouting report on Florida?
Yeah, you know, I was asked Saturday night which team Wisconsin would rather face, and I said Badger fans, I think, should be hoping for Virginia just because it's a, you know, another team like Villanova, not going to push the ball up a ton, going to make it another fist fight, you know, not going to be able to run you out of the gym or anything. You know, Florida, I think, is scary for Wisconsin. I'm not going to be that guy that stands up here and says, oh, the athletes, the speed, Wisconsin's that program that can't handle that. You know, we've seen with this program, Wisconsin, you know, can match up with that type of thing, even though they may be up against it athletically. But, you know, the speed from the guard spot of Florida, you know, Chris Chioza, Casey Hill would worry me if I'm Wisconsin, because their perimeter defense the last couple years against these type of guards hasn't been good, and they struggled to keep people out of the paint. Especially, you know, you maybe kind of compare Michigan State to Florida a little bit, just, you know, how much they want to run. Even after made baskets, they're looking to get right to the rim. And with how Wisconsin, you know, has played defensively lately, especially when you consider how much they've been getting into foul trouble, that matchup worries me, because Florida's very quick at the guard spot. They're going right to the rim. They're going to attack constantly. Wisconsin's perimeter defense has to be really good. And, you know, we've seen, like I said, the past couple of years, that's kind of what's maybe killed them in March, specifically against Duke 2 years ago when they couldn't handle Tyus Jones. Yeah. I don't think they have anybody of that caliber, but, you know, when you talk about the speed, the ball handling, the ability to just make plays one-on-one, you know, that's going to be tough for Wisconsin to stop. Now, I don't know how Wisconsin's methodical style is going to affect Florida. Somebody pointed out to me that, you know, Vanderbilt's the slowest tempo team in the SEC. They beat Florida three times this season. So maybe Wisconsin's grinded-out style bothers Florida more than Florida style bothers Wisconsin, but, you know, that those guards from Florida would worry me if I'm the Badgers.
Win or lose, one thing I just want to see, I hope Ethan Happ watches Canyon Berry shoot free throws very closely, because as bad as it might look shooting granny style, who cares if it works? And for Ethan Happ, it can't get much worse.
Yeah. Why not?
I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Evan, great stuff. We'll talk with you next week.
That sounds good. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Evan.
It's Evan Flood, 247sports.com.